Live from aisle 3 of Staples store number 1087, right next to the glue sticks, and brought to you by Crayola Crayons. Crayola, make play. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Malicious.
And this is EQ2Talk.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.
This is episode 7, and what still don't we have?
Well, we don't have theme music.
And why is that, Allie?
2 lanterns were lit in the bell tower, so I panicked. How can I be expected to do homework if the British are coming?
Paul Revere, brewer, and a patriot. I like how you fit that in.
Was he 0-2 also?
He'd be 2-0 if he took the default drafting order.
Oh, burn.
Speaking of other things that are going downhill rapidly, Ellie, apparently you might have made a few mistakes in episode 6.
I think it was more like 1.
Okay.
And I don't know if I would classify it as a mistake.
Were you wrong?
No.
Okay.
I had a problem, but I figured out how to solve my problem since then.
What was your problem?
Well, do you remember last episode we talked about noobing? My little skill-up sound effects weren't working?
Yes, your lack of a chime.
I was crying about not having a chime. Well, when we were noobing the other day, I was looking over something in my options, and lo and behold, I found how to turn it on. It was off. So I now have skill-up messages. Would you like to know how I found it?
Absolutely. Why don't you share it with everybody so in case they're missing their chime effect, they can have it fixed as well.
It was under Options, User Interface, Pop-up Messages, Show Skill-up Messages, and there's a little checkbox.
So if you're not seeing the messages, you don't get the sound effect as well?
You know, it's funny. I was getting the messages, the actual text, but the sound wasn't happening.
Okay. So by rechecking this box, though, it lo and behold fixed it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But the skill-up messages, you know what, it's funny. I was getting the text messages in the chat box, but I wasn't getting the thing across the screen that tells you, you know, the green letters that tell you when your skill has gone up.
Okay.
Those go hand in hand with the chime, it sounds like.
Ah, okay. All right. So you have to have both.
Apparently. But anyway, I'm happy that my little gong sound is back. After 6 years.
It's a pleasant sound effect because it makes you feel like you've accomplished something, even if it's only getting better at gathering by one.
Right.
And that's important.
It is important.
Okay, so was that all we had for errors from episode 6?
I believe so. We're maybe getting better. Del, what have you been up to since we last recorded?
What have I been up to? Good question. I have to say, probably not a whole heck of a lot of things that are very interesting or exciting. I have been working hard at getting the Troubadour to 1990, and that's slowed down a little bit. He's right now about 85 and a half and still running through the Moors of Yakisha timeline and doing the ship-out quest series for trade skilling to try to get out of the grinding of the writs. It's a slow process. A lot of that's very green, but again, when you're a solo troubadour, not with the best gear, not with the best spells, it's slow. Other than that, on Delmon, been doing a lot of repetitive raiding, I guess you could say, visiting Palace of Rowan Thier, Labs, Tox's Lair, MMB, back to Palace of Rowan Thier, back to Labs, back to Lair. I gotta say, it's getting a little bit repetitive and a little bit boring, because I feel our guild's spending a lot of time gearing up alts because attendance has been down, numbers have been down, and it's difficult to move forward when you don't really have a consistent group of 24, week in and week out, raid in, raid out, doing the encounter so that you can move on to the harder modes. We've pretty much cleared just about everything on normal mode at this point, and we're looking ahead to doing some of the hard encounters, but just not having 24 people in a good variety of classes to handle some of these encounters has been a hamper towards us. So I've been doing a lot of repetitive raiding, and it's easy to lose focus, you know? It's easy to not pay attention at times.
Play Free Cell?
I don't play Free Cell. I do switch over to Taco, though, at sometimes, the agency Covert Ops.
You mentioned MMB in the zones that you guys are doing. Why? I'm just curious, why MMB?
Because there's a few items from Munzox that, even though they're previous tier, are very fancy for some of the classes, including, and I picked up the other week, a healer necklace off of Munzok. Went kind of all in on DKP on it to get it. Because it's kind of got a very nice ward on it with a very high proc rate. So in encounters like that, it's nice to have additional heals coming off of items that are proccing kind of frequently to help you get through some of these heal-intensive fights that are present with some of the harder encounters.
Interesting. Would you consider those the melty chocolate of that expansion?
Melty chocolate? Well, yeah, when they're running down the cone and they're all over my hands are now sticky, and I don't much care for that feeling. I gotta tell you, Munzox, I mean, it was fun the first time through, got my achievements, got to see some stuff that I hadn't seen last expansion. But again, now it's more of repetitive raiding, and I think it sounds very selfish, and maybe it is, that I don't want to go back there after I've gotten all the gear that Delmon needs, right? Why do I want to gear up other people? And even worse so, other people's alts. I'm not a big fan of gearing up alts on guild raid nights.
It does sound pretty selfish.
Yeah, thank you. At least we agree. But it's you've seen it, been there, kind of the been there, done that. And when I think when a lot of these encounters continually drop the same items over and over again, how many pairs of leather monk gloves do we need to see every raid in Pals of Rowan? There, every raid they seem to drop, right?
Yes, they certainly do.
So most everybody has gotten their gloves because we have to go through the zone every time to get to Rowan Theer. So you're going through those same mobs and same items every time over and over again. And it's easy to mentally check out on some of these encounters, and they're certainly not trivial. We weren't paying attention the other day during Lysian's barrier there, and that knocked us around pretty good. But it can get kind of repetitive, and you know, I think that's a downer a little bit. So hopefully we'll get to see something new soon. So what have you been up to, Allie?
I've been kind of a busy bee. I finally finished the Harvester Cloak on my Sage, and she's now working through the Sentinel's Fate Trade Skill quests, and she's about 84 now. So when I'm done with her getting to 90, I'm going to move on to the next trade skiller, which is a tailor, and start working on the Harvester Cloak on that one.
Now let me ask you, because I find this interesting, why are you doing the Harvester's Cloak on more than one tune?
Because I want to level them from 80 to 90 in the expansion. Not grind writs.
Okay.
That's really boring to me.
So when doing the Harvester's Cloak, are you getting trade skill XP for completing that quest? Or?
I think, but it's minimal. That's not the reason. I want to get them from 80 to 90 in the expansion, and in order to do that, a lot of the dailies have harvesting. There's some harvesting that will hold you back if you can't harvest up there.
Okay, that makes sense. Sure.
So I want to level their harvesting up so they can do it themselves.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess I was just looking at it from a solo character point of view. Well, gee, if I had an alt who needed harvestable items, I'd just run out with Delmon, collect the wood for him, and then hand it over to the woodworker, for example.
Well, I don't know. I suppose I could do that, but there are a couple that actually require you to harvest them yourself. I could probably skip certain things. I don't remember if it's the dailies or part of the whole series that where I got stuck on one of my tunes. I believe it was the second tune that I leveled up to 90 that had encountered a problem with needing to harvest in that tier, and that's what propelled me to do the Harvester Cloak so I could do it myself. So I've done six tunes Harvester cloak on six tunes, which is kind of scary.
You're right. That reminds me of back when I was leveling the Troubadour and they had revamped Everfrost. There's a quest in there that for fishing. I don't remember if it's part of a series or just a standalone, but I wanted to do it anyways because I was in Everfrost doing it. And the Troubadour only had, you know, tier one fishing skills. I had to take him all the way back and get him all the way through, I think, to level 40 or 50 fishing skills so that he could fish to complete that quest. It was kind of boring having to go back and do all these fishings over and over again.
Yeah.
Hunt these nodes to get them, to get the skill ups so that I can get back on track with the quest that I was trying to do.
And that's another thing. I mean, I don't like having to go back and get sidetracked from something, so I figure might as well get the harvesting done. It's really annoying when you have to harvest something and you can't. And I have the two accounts, so I have a level 84 coercer on my second account. All of the ones that have the harvester cloak are on my primary account, except for the coercer who also has the harvester cloak. She sort of did it at the same time as the second tune on the other account. And so she sort of helps out in when it gets a little bit hairy up in Tenebrous Tangle, you know, where the nodes are sort of intermixed with a whole ton of mobs that my little lobby adventurers can't handle.
Absolutely.
Yep. So.
Okay. So is that all really that you've been working on recently?
Pretty much. I mean, that's, you know, other than the usual stuff on Alley, which is, you know, raiding three times a week and doing, I do a throwback raid I've been trying to do one every month. And we just did one last week. We went to Kingdom of Sky. The idea was to get a bunch of people and their alts and whoever wants to go mentor down to 70. And we hit Labs and Death Toll. A bunch of people got AA. It was fun.
Yeah, that's a great way to make up for AA and do something, you know, different. Not doing the same heroic instances at 90 or whatever I did in 90.
Yeah, and people were, you know, a lot of people were reminiscing about the old days. Remember when we used to have to do this in a different way, you know, pull this mob from behind the door. And remember when this is a choke point we used to wipe at. And just fun things that people remember about the old days. So that was kind of fun.
Absolutely, and it is nice to go through some of this content and beat it up now. You know, a little payback for all those times of wiping before.
Yeah, I have a little new intro to my throwback night. I say, welcome to, you know, whatever we're doing, and where we bring new meaning to the word Zerg.
Absolutely, yeah. Zerging can be fun.
It can be.
Okay, so we did receive one email this week from a listener?
Yes, we did. A repeat feedback.
Okay.
From Emily Taylor, Domino, trade skill designer.
Okay.
It says, just discovered and enjoyed the latest new podcast. Keep up the good work. I wanted to reassure you that the player contest paintings will indeed be back when the city festivals return, so your husband can pick them up if he still wants more. If you remember last time we were talking about the player-made paintings that I was complaining were not available by purchase except for city tokens.
Correct, and you were a little light on tokens at that time.
Anyway, back to the letter. The Are You Smarter Than a Delmon segment was hilarious, and I was laughing out loud. However, the fact that Delmon said he hadn't done the new trade skill quests made me wonder. Aren't you doing the trade skill quests in Hallis on your new newbies? You should have got the harvesting quest in the newbie area on Pilgrim Isle, which would then lead you to make the wolf paw charm from Bull the Mender once you completed that. And that quest would have led you to the trade skill tutor series. Once you reached trade skill level 10, you'd get an email pointing you at the level 10 Hallis trade skill quests, and another email at 20 points you to Butcher Block. I tried to make the quest lead true newbies into trade skills, so if your newbies somehow missed the quest line, I'm curious to hear at what step you got derailed, as it might be something I need to fix. Thanks if you have any feedback.
Well, thank you very much for the email, Domino, and I think we do have a little bit to say about the noobs and about their trade skilling adventures.
Yes.
So where are we in our noob report right now?
Well, two words for you, Del. It was a blore pissa.
What Allie is referring to is some mispronunciation of one of the NPC's names who we couldn't seem to get correct one evening and renamed him Blurg Pissa. I think it's the Froglock, isn't it?
Yes.
Although really, I think Blurg Pissa is one word.
It is, but it sounds like two.
Does sound like two. So we've been playing the noobs still. We were even playing them last night. And I think we are just shy of level 25 now.
Yes.
With about 8 hours of play time thus far.
I actually checked before I logged out last night.
Okay.
If you do /played.
Yes.
It'll tell you how many hours you have played, or days, I suppose you could also measure, that you've played on that particular tune. And we are at just over 9 hours.
Oh, just over nine. Okay. And we are at kind of the, I think it's called Cragged Spine area.
Yes.
Of Frostfang Sea. So let's first kind of address some of the things that Domino had in her email about trade skilling. Because we are working on trade skilling. However, it's kind of, in my opinion, a little disjointed in Frostfang Sea. Certainly did the wolf paw charm item from the mender there on the Pilgrim Isle, the very, very new area in Frostfang Sea. But then we seem to have no trade skilling through the next 20-some-odd adventure levels, and we know it's coming because we've played it on our full-time tunes. We know trade skilling is going to come to us when we get into New Halas, but we're not to New Halas yet, and we've done 20-some-odd levels of play and have not encountered any more trade skilling. So in that respect, I think trade skilling for the noob in Frostfang Sea is a little disjointed because you're introduced to it so early, which I do think is a good thing, but then it seems to go on vacation, for lack of better terms, for 20-some-odd levels while you're running around doing all these quests from NPCs and discovering new areas and killing orcs and whatnot. So we kind of were saying the other night, we've lost track of trade skilling. It's kind of fallen off a little bit because introduced to it real early, and then you don't see it again.
Well, and I sort of had something to say about that. I actually am okay with having a red quest, or at this point, orange quest in your journal that tells you to go speak to somebody when you get somewhere. And we're now at a point where we're being told by other NPCs to go to New Halas. And if I were a real noob, I don't think I'd really be wanting to trade skill right off the bat, necessarily. People jump into this game to kill things and take their stuff, not to make stuff. Right?
Very true, very true.
It is quite a long time, but really, in the grand scheme of things, we've only played an hour here, an hour there. If we were true noobs, 9 hours, you could do that in one or two sittings.
Yeah, probably. Probably, I think you're right. As a new player who maybe just took the game kind of off the shelf, mm-hmm. they wouldn't play it for an hour. They'd probably get sucked into it for a couple hours.
At least. And 2 hours, 3 hours go by really fast when you're first starting to play.
Absolutely, and maybe they would probably even have more time in because we see our hotbars update and we automatically know what it's doing. They would probably be sitting there
reading,
clicking, going through all those tutorial buttons that pop up. So it might even be a longer play session for them between Pilgrim's Isle and getting to New Halas in terms of...
Well, and really, there's really no... I mean, once you get to town, New Halas is town, and that's a ways away, and the quest hubs along the way, you know, we're almost there. Basically, there's the little outpost thing, which I don't even know if that's part of the series, and then town. So we're almost there. So, I mean, I'm actually okay with the trade skill being just the one quest. It did have you make something. It did introduce harvesting. And there's harvesting along the way. There are nodes along the way. I've already encountered one that I can't harvest. I have to go back and get my mining skill up.
But, I agree. And I think I'll say that's where I think the challenge is because there's all these newbie nodes along the way, these low-level nodes along the way that you want to harvest or that you would want players to engage. But without introducing them to trade skill off the bat, they don't know what they're for. I just think maybe along the way, maybe again, but you talk about how you say, you know, people want to kill, they don't want to make. Somewhere along the way in that 25-some-odd quest levels that we've gotten, there needs to be interspersed one or two more make this item for me so that players don't forget or lose focus on trade skilling, so that it is still part of the game. It just seems so disjointed early mm-hmm. on and then completely not forgotten about, but it's just not integrated with gameplay until we reach town. And that really is a long time.
I guess so.
Allie, what's your strategy you were outlaying it the other night for trade skilling on the noob?
Oh, my, I've decided, well, since I already have one of everything, it doesn't really matter what this noob takes up as a trade skill. So I'm going to let fate decide. Basically, the very first trade skill book that dropped for me is determining my, what would you call it? The archetype? It's a scholar book. So she's going to be a scholar. What type of scholar? I don't know. Only time will tell. Whatever the book, first book that drops in the scholar family, that's what she's going to be.
I have to say, when you first described it, I thought that was a great idea. How exciting. How leaving it up to fate.
I've got a lot of harvest or carpenter and what's the other one that I've gotten? I guess a lot of carpenter and provisioner or some other book seem to have dropped. So that doesn't help.
Well, I'm very interested to see what it is, and I will. Can I say I will laugh if it is carpenter?
How can it be? That's not a scholar.
Good point. That's why I think it'll be funny if it is carpenter.
That would be really unusual.
For myself, I'm looking at it as an opportunity to fill a gap in my family of toons. I do not have a sage, so. And that would help Delmon in making his spells later in life. So my plan is to be a sage no matter what. I just need to fill that hole so I can be more self-sufficient, more self-reliant in the game with Delmon.
What made you decide that after I already told you I was going to be something in the scholar family? What happens if I'm the first book that drops is a sage book?
I'm going to roll neat on it. That's what's going to happen. Well, then again, that's what happens with everything that drops. I roll neat on anyway. So,
okay.
How will that be any different?
The likelihood of my toon becoming a sage is very low then, because I will just simply greed.
Okay. Again, I think I had decided this long in advance when we were first deciding what classes to play. I want to have something that I don't have to fill in a gap. And sage would help Delmon in the ability to make his spells when he needs them. When he gets to be level 91 again.
So I'm going to probably end up being either a jeweler or an alchemist, basically.
Well, or you can roll need and see how it goes.
This
will be very exciting.
I can't roll need. Need is going to mess up the whole randomness.
Oh, okay.
Of fate.
Well, what happens if Sage 21 drops and then Sage 21 drops again?
I'm just going to press greed and see what happens.
Exactly. So if two sage books drop, you can still be a sage.
Okay. But if I roll greed and you roll greed, then you could also end up with that extra book.
And then I'll sell it.
Right. So it's fine. Everything will work out.
I'm okay with it.
I'm good. I'm glad.
Good. Are you good? We're good.
We're good. Fine.
Okay. Everything's good. Okay.
What else did we have to say?
We've been getting along the way as noobs a lot of house items.
A crap ton of house items.
I was gonna say plethora. Allie has chosen a different way to describe it. But I have half my newbie bag is full of house items. And you know what, Allie? I got no goddamn house to put them in. So I think that's another kind of disjointness, if that's a word. It will be a word now. In being a newbie is that you are getting these house items, you're accumulating these things, but again, New Hallis is so far away, and I say that in terms of storyline, I guess, so far away, from progression, you fill up your bag holding on to all these house items, and as a newbie, if I was, again, talking about that guy who just proverbially took the game off the shelf, they don't know what a house is yet, they haven't seen a house, but they have all these items for it. So I think it can be a little confusing to reward people with things in the beginning that they cannot leverage right away.
First rule of thumb, never turn your nose up at a cookie. I think we've learned this before. I like the house items. Don't go telling them to take away the house items.
I said no such thing.
You remember way back when we used to get a table, a chandelier that was really boring, and a pet cage.
Yes.
Okay. And a bulletin board. At some point, everybody had those four things in their...
in their house, yes.
In their one-room house. And then you got a book, which you then put on your table. And all my noobs pretty much have the same house, the new house that you get for 5 silver or whatever, where you talk to the person and yada yada. This is better. You have cool stuff. There are rugs. There are things to put on the wall, weapon racks. It's cool stuff. So I like the house items. The only problem I have is having somewhere to put them.
That's my point. I'm not... don't confuse my complaining with complaining that we have house items. I think they look fabulous.
Okay.
But
I want to clarify.
Yes, and I'm saying that with spared fingers, too. What we don't have is a place to put all these things. And as a brand spanking newbie, I'm confused as to what to do with them all.
So really, your complaint isn't that we're getting house item rewards. Really, your complaint is that your bags aren't big enough and you don't have any boxes in your bank.
No, I think what my complaint is that they're introducing aspects of the game in, or partially introducing aspects of the game that aren't fully fleshed out for a noob yet, in that giving house items is absolutely fine as rewards, but I think they should have already introduced housing at that point.
Nah. I disagree.
I think you're saying that as a veteran. I think
I disagree because if I'm a new player, I just want to go kill stuff. I don't really want to go home yet. And there's no home anyway until we get to town, right?
Correct.
We just woke up on this island. We're making our way to town. And on the way there, we're getting stronger. And so what if we happen to come across some things that go in the house? Those things that go in the house, once we have a house, we can put them in there.
Yes, but the noob doesn't know he has a house coming yet, so he's probably going to sell those things.
I doubt it.
Okay, that's where I'm coming from. I just think they shouldn't introduce aspects of the game until that aspect is fully fleshed out for the player.
I disagree.
Giving house items is, I think, too early. Either give us the house earlier, or hold off the house items until we get to town. Speaking from a truly noob point of view, veterans understand what housing is and understand what they do with these items and may even put them in other players' houses or something like that. But true noob playing by himself, you know, going through Frostfang Sea, doesn't have that option available to him yet.
All right, well, I just disagree then.
All right. Fair enough. Now, do you agree with me that our bags are goddang way too small?
I agree. They're way too small.
Way too small.
But you know what, though? Think about it.
I'm thinking.
When we rolled Delmon and Allie,
yes,
we had how many bags?
I had nothing.
Zero bags.
Yes.
Zero bags, zero clothes that did anything, zero anything, except for food and drink and like some...
like, that was it, food and drink.
I think, didn't you have pants?
And a stick. I think you had a fighting stick or something. Yes.
Pants that had no stats and a scraggly blouse that didn't have any stats. And food and drink that didn't auto-consume. And it was in your bag. It was in one of your slots.
Yes, I agree. Things have come a long way.
Okay, so we now have bags. We now have bags. One of them is sort of large.
I think it's 12 slots.
And then the rest are 4 slots.
those four-slot bags, let's be honest, much like when we were noobs back then, a four-slot bag back then, yes, it was the cream of the crop. It was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But a four-slot bag is useless. I mean, it really is useless. Even just running around as a noob, how many times did you have to tell me last night, hey, Dell, your bags are full?
That's because you're you.
That's because you're right. I forgot to hit the merchant before we went back down to the underground cavern.
I didn't have full bags.
I know, so I wasn't paying attention, but it was my own fault. But really, my opinion, if you're going to give bags like that and you're going to give it out to a new player, why not just give them 6 12-slot bags? I mean, is really giving them 5 4-slot bags just even it all out? It looks silly on the screen when I hit B and all my bags open and they don't all line up because they're all different size. Well, they're two different sets of sizes. Just give us 6 12-slotters. That's enough to get a noob through the beginning. Hell, he may not even figure out how to use a merchant until he gets to town and has all this stuff. Just give us some extra slots, please.
I disagree.
All right.
First of all, your anal retentive Dell talking with your, I need my bags to be the same size so they match up when I press B. Okay, that's one. Number two, your cheap Dell. I went to the merchant already, and I bought 3 or 4 bags because I had an empty bank, and I had some house items to put in there. The bags are like 4 silver.
Really? They sell bags?
Yeah. They're only like 8 slots, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, then maybe scratch that entire thing off the agenda. We'll delete that from the whole show.
They sell bags. You're just too cheap, really. Seriously, we're talking here. Wait, no. I have a story. I would like to tell everyone how cheap Dell is. Let me illustrate. He makes me these temporary adornments for my ranger on his weaponsmith from, TSO, last year. And they take up a total of, 4 inventory slots?
Yes.
When I ask you to make them, 2 stacks of 20?
2 stacks of 20.
No, sorry, only 2 inventory slots.
2 slots, that's correct.
And he needs to mail them to me.
I don't need to mail them to you.
I would like him to mail them to me, because I mail him all the materials and the coin to make them.
That is true.
You would think that he would mail them back, but
no, I do
you
not.
Know what? He
no.
will not mail
I don't mail them back. No, that's right.
He will not mail 2 items to me. No,
that's true.
Because it costs
50 silver. 50
copper.
Silver.
50
copper.
50 copper.
I won't even pay 50 copper. That's right.
That adds up to 1 silver.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to see you in less than 24 hours in game. Mike, I can just hand it to you and keep the silver. Call being frugal.
That's really cheap.
No,
that's not frugal. You're wasting your time. You spend all this time zoning over to see me.
I make you come see me.
Right. This is true. You make me come see you because you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start including the 1 silver in the price of what I give you. Say, this is my, self-addressed stamped envelope. Return them to me by mail, please.
If you did that, then yes, you would have them mailed back to you.
All right.
I see nothing wrong with that.
So anyway, this is just to illustrate how cheap Dell is, that he will not purchase a few little bags that are there for the taking.
Okay.
And all of the, stuff that you've been getting from corpse drops and whatnot, you can sell.
In Delmon's newbie defense, I feel that I am being railroaded. I am not going to say that I am not frugal on Delmon. I am very frugal on Delmon. But in the noob's defense, the noob was not being frugal. He was just being stupid because he didn't know that there were bags for sale. The noob would have bought bags if he had known they were for sale.
The noob would have known there were bags for sale if he were really a noob and clicked on the merchant.
All right, you caught me. I am so cheap across the board. When I click on a merchant, I think the default is buy. I think that's the default tab that always comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately switch to sell because that's what I'm there to do. I wouldn't know what any of these merchants sell, honest to God. So they may have had bags on them, but I would never know because as soon as I click on the merchant, I click on the buy tab to sell stuff. And then when I'm done, I move on. And by then, I've cleaned out enough of the bag space. I'm like, oh, okay, I've got bag space. I got plenty of room here for my next orc ear that I'm going to get or something like that. So, all right, I screwed up. I'll be honest. The noob would have bought bags had he known they were there. And my defense is I didn't know. I was not being cheap on him. I just didn't
know. You were
being
cheap. You didn't know because you didn't look, because you're being cheap.
My cheapness may have blinded me, but it was not the reason why he doesn't have bags. But I still say, come on, devs, give us some bags.
No. They give you too much crap already. No.
Speaking of getting crap from mobs, Allie, you wanted to talk about something?
Sloppy fish guts.
What about your sloppy fish guts?
All right. Okay. As a noob, you go blah, blah, blah. There's a guy you talk to. There's a bucket on the ground. You click on it, and you get the sloppy fish gut bucket in your inventory. Then at some point, you're killing some fish, and you loot these things called sloppy cod guts. At some point on Alley, I did this, and I still have in my inventory a sloppy fish gut bucket and sloppy cod guts that I carry with me at all times. Because I never knew what it was for. Because you never know when you might need some sloppy fish guts.
Absolutely.
In a raid, okay? On the noob, we're going around, and I put the two together. I had never put the two together before. Okay, this shows you how stupid I am. And look, they're both sloppy. Maybe the guts go in the bucket. Because it's a sloppy fish gut bucket. Sure enough, I put the bucket in my inventory slot. Not in the bag. You have to take it into your inventory slot, the base inventory slot, because it's a container, and you can put the guts inside the bucket. And every time you loot another sloppy cod guts, it goes into the bucket. So we're sitting there talking and mulling over. I said, you know, this has to do something. I bet it spawns a name, like a giant cod or something. We finally, got past, I don't know what we were doing. We were doing our noob thing, and we sort of forgot about it. And then I said, this is really bothering me. I have to find out what this is for. So I cheated, and I went and looked it up on Zam. Sure enough, if you collect 6 fish guts, put them in the bucket, click on a random rock in an obscure location, you spawn a named. So we went back and did that. The mob was gray. It's called the Woolly Beast.
He was very gray to us, if I remember correctly.
Yes. What's up with that? What's up with this, obscure puzzle? I mean, it's to me, I had to go look it up. I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, okay, but I'm not a complete moron. I eventually figured out that the bucket holds the guts, and my guess was that it spawned a named. There's no way unless if you look at some of the notes on Zam, you find out there's a note, a clickable note, like a little piece of paper in the little cave at the, I believe it's the third quest hub.
Yes.
You remember where we were with Herga?
Yes.
Okay. There's
where you meet Blurpissa the second time.
Yes. There is a cave where you have the banker and the merchant and all the Coldane and...
I think it's called the Great Shelf.
Okay, the Great Shelf. That works. And Slurpee, after you've helped him, the little baby frog is there with his dad or whatever. And there's a note on the ground after you've saved him. Okay, you can click the note, and it tells you his story of why he wasn't imagining things. He actually did see this beast. And it basically gives you a clue by saying that he was eating sloppy fish sandwiches or something like that, and describes this bearded creature that came out, jumped out, and that's why he ran away. So by the time you get to the Great Shelf, that named would be gray, unless you immediately put two and two together, went back and harvested or looted more fish guts, collected 6, and then ran around looking for this rock to click on. I think you'd still have out-leveled it by that point. It seems like a waste of a really interesting little puzzle at a low level where it'll be grayed out by the time you figure it out.
So let me ask you this, Gally, then. Is your, kind of issue with it more so that it's kind of an homage to old-school EverQuest and EQ2 where, you have dropped items that you have to kind of farm a little bit and put it all together, a little bit of a puzzle, or is it that... it's too easy to out-level it too quickly.
It it's too easy to out-level it too quickly, and it's a really interesting puzzle. I like those interesting things. I wish there were more of them in the game. I think it's fantastic that there's this interesting little puzzle early on, but I wish the mob were not gray.
So maybe if the woolly beast was a little higher level, then you might have a more of a fighting chance that it would still be at least green to a player by the time they put it all together and get... And I think, too, we had to kill probably, I want to say maybe a dozen fish to get enough of the guts just for one person.
I don't think you would accidentally have the bucket in your inventory with six guts and click on the rock if you're too low for that. So I think it's safe to level that woolly beast up to, I don't know, something more reasonable, something more in line with what level you might be when you figure out.
What if they were to do this? What if the woolly beast was to spawn as a even con to you, no matter what level you are?
That would be awesome. That would be perfect.
That would actually kind of solve the problem of depending if a person got to it really fast or it took them a while to realize what it all was and put it all together.
Exactly. How cool would that be? That would be way cool.
And if they put a little AAA on him too, that would even be slicker.
Yeah. He did have a little star, which means that you could get AA from killing him.
Yeah, but we probably were 15 levels above him at that point.
Yeah. Well, I didn't look at his level, but...
I want to say 8, but don't quote me.
Okay. I won't.
But certainly 8 by the time we would get... That would give you to, like, what, 18 to get to him? You'd be kind of close. And probably if he's that green, whatever reward he does have on him is probably going to be outdated anyways very quickly.
We did find another thing that we thought was a problem. We got through the Cracked Spine quest series, the one that takes you down under the water to a hidden cave. But you get these little totems to give you water breathing and fish vision to swim down there. You turn into a little manta ray, a little ice manta. So we finished that. We get up through, I guess, to where one of them is repeatable. And then there's another quest that has to take you back down there again. And we realized we were out of totems because we were going back and forth. And actually, I think we were conserving the totems pretty well.
I think we were, yes.
So we ran out. And so at this point, I'm like, this is aggravating. There's no way to get back down there, but still we have quests. We can't progress. This is going in the show notes as I'm running around complaining. If there isn't any way to get totems, it's not obvious. And then all of a sudden I see standing in front of me on the ground a clickable, what looks like a totem. And sure enough, when you click on it, there is a totem of the ice-clad manta that pops into your inventory. You get another 5 charges. So Allie had to eat her words. It was funny, though.
Yes, there was much ranting and raving over the lack of totems and how dare they not put them on the merchant right by that little crag-spined area, and how dare they make us have to either find town so that we can find a broker and buy these things, and how would ever know what a broker is at this point?
And hope that someone's selling these totems on the broker for less than 2 gold, because that's all I have in my possession.
So, yes, there was much excitement.
And complaining.
In voice chat, hopefully nobody was recording that voice chat session, over the lack of refillable totems, and then lo and behold, there's one laying right on the ground.
Yeah, it was almost as if somebody were watching us and listening in and put down this little totem on the ground in front of me. I felt like an idiot.
So we had a whole topic of ranting about lack of totem, and then it turned out to be an unissue.
Yes. I did have one other complaint, maybe a couple other complaints, maybe 3, maybe 4. So one of those things was that, as you know, I rolled an assassin. And, you know, you start with a bunch of stuff now as opposed to nothing. And my assassin started with a bow and arrows, which I think is not a good thing. Because I'm not a ranger. I'm an assassin. What's up with the bow and arrow?
So would you be happier if they gave you, like, throwing daggers or something?
Yeah, a pouch. Or, I mean, you know, because that's the same thing, or the sheath or whatever the hell it's called.
Sure. Just not bow and arrows, because bow and arrows means, and I use air quotes, ranger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's one thing. Another thing is that I noticed is when I went to inspect your newbie tune.
You're checking me out?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like what you see?
I wanted to see what you were wearing. And
I was wearing the same gear you were, just in caster format.
Well, there was, I don't remember what it was, but in any case, looking at my inventory window, which, as you know, is different from what it was a little while ago with a recent change, the inspect window doesn't match the layout of the new inventory window.
Okay, you know, I got to say, I haven't noticed that because maybe I haven't inspected side by side, having the character window open and an inspect window open.
It's minor. I mean, the charm slots are in a different place, but, you know, it's minor. It just, I found that sort of confusing. And then the other thing that I found annoying was the transmute ability, which, as you know, you now have all the time from the beginning, which is kind of handy when you're doing low-level quests, when you out-level gear, which you do seemingly every time you complete a quest. I am transmuting as I go, but it didn't pop up on my hotbar along with tracking, sprint, etc. I had to go look for it in my knowledge book. Found that kind of annoying.
Okay, so you would say you would prefer to have transmuting on the hotbar right away?
If you're going to give it to people from the get-go, then tell them they have it instead of burying it in the knowledge book. But again, I think this goes towards some of the other changes that they've made, taking things off or not automatically giving them to you to because it's, quote-unquote, too confusing.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. I'm going back and forth in my mind with this thought of, well, gee, you want to expose players to transmuting as soon as you can so that they can take advantage of it and start working on it. But you don't want to overwhelm them with 8 million buttons that they don't know what to do with or what to do with.
But I guess my point is, if you're going to give people transmuting from the beginning, tell them it's there so that they can actually use it instead of selling that low-level gear that they've out-leveled. They can actually transmute it and get skill ups instead of waiting till you get to town and realizing, damn it, I could have been transmuting all along. And now what am I going to do? I have nothing to skill up on.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Go back and mentor down, go all the way back to the newbie island and start killing stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think you should be exposed to transmuting at level one. It should be on your hotbar because it is part of the game. But my goodness, if you're going to expose them to transmuting, then you better expose them to adorning right away because now they're going to have all these fragments and powders that they're going to be like, what do I do with this? And this is a huge catch-22.
It is a catch-22, and I think that is this whole aspect of making the game less confusing. I don't think you can make the game less confusing because it is a complicated game. It's complex. This is why we actually play the game.
I agree, absolutely. I don't like to see things dumbed down in any aspect of the game. But, you know, having gone through this experience as far as we have thus far, I can see some of the pitfalls and challenges of you can easily overwhelm somebody day one with all this stuff on their hotbars, on their screen, flashing in front of them, blinking, attacking them, trying to kill them, bars going in and out, power, health, and all that sort of stuff. It's so easy to become a deer in the headlights with all this stuff going on, but you don't want to overshield them and then say, well, gee, we didn't want to expose you to transmuting because we didn't want to overwhelm you, but you're right, now you've wasted 20 levels of gear gathering that could have been transmuted because you sold it all off. Or worse, you didn't take it because out of the chest or you just left it there to rot or something.
Think about also the things that they have made non-automatic, I guess, is the only way I could think of to put it. All of these spells and abilities that have now been removed from being I don't know what how do you say that?
Auto granted.
Yes. Okay. So for example, I did notice this on my assassin. We killed something and a chest dropped and one of the adept books dropped. I'm sorry, is it not called adept anymore?
No, it's adept.
Okay, it is called adept. Oh, I can't keep track of all these changes. It's called Murderous Design. It's a level 11, basically a hate transfer. I didn't get it in my book, and I was a little confused, and then I remembered this change that they made sometime back in last month, in August sometime, to not auto-grant, as you say, certain confusing aspects.
Although I would argue, if you're getting that spell the way you did as an adept drop, that's a defect. It shouldn't be spell XYZ at level 11 that drops out of a chest that isn't given anymore until, say, level 30 or something like that. I would say that's a defect.
So you think that they made a mistake?
I think in that case, yes, that would be a mistake, because I don't think that should be like that. Because effectively, that spell doesn't exist anymore.
I guess.
Is how I'm interpreting it. I think of one that they took away, like, the granting of food. I think priests could summon food or something like that.
Yes, that's gone too. They also took away taunts. You know, I guess the argument is you're not going to be grouping. So what do you need all this stuff for? It's just too confusing.
Correct.
But then again, you have the other side of it of, okay, when you start grouping, now what do you have? Now you get taunts that you don't know how to use. Now you have hate transfer you don't know how to use. Now you have a mesmerize that you don't know how to use.
Well, yeah, and that was one thing I was talking to you the other night when we were grouping is, I have to say, as the coercer, my goodness, my hotbars are loaded with stuff. And because we're so newbie, and being a noob is so much easier than it ever was in terms of mobs, you know, sometimes mobs fall over when you blink at them.
Yeah.
That.
Well, we are duoing, too.
That is true as well. So in a duo, it's even perhaps worse. Only one of us has to blink. I was saying, hey, I don't have a pet here, but two nukes and the thing is dead. We don't need a pet. Between your assassin skills and my nuking that I do have, we're able to burn this content down, and I don't need to be doing a pet and all the pet controls that come with it. So I'm losing that, or I'm missing out, not losing it, but I'm missing out on that experience of learning how to play that because it is almost so easy at times. And I'm wondering, am I being a bad coercer because all I'm doing is running up and swinging at it with my stick and nuking at it while you're, you know, backstabbing on it?
Nobody's teaching you how to do that. So I would say you're doing the game as the game is telling you to do it.
Right. I think I just fear that at some point, say when we get into our 20s and move on to Butcher Block or wherever we head next, right, that there's going to be a steep curve where all my apprentice spells, and heck, I'm still using apprentices other than the one or two adepts that we have had drop that we can use, it's going to catch up to us. We're going to be caught where we really do need to know how to play our classes a little bit better. And as you said earlier, we've been kind of zerging through Frostfang Sea. It's been fun, absolutely. Watching mobs drop over dead when we walk around a corner is very, very heroic and very exciting. But I think this is going to come back to haunt us a little bit later in the gameplay.
Totally agree. I totally agree. And, you know, I think it's accurate to say that people don't necessarily group early on in a general statement. Obviously, there are people who do group. For the most part, new players, I don't think are going to be grouping unless they have friends that they're playing the game with at the same time, maybe a husband and wife couple or something.
Exactly.
Everything is so down arrow that you're never pushed to figure out. The only way I think people learn how to play their character or how to play their class is when they hit a wall where they can't just steamroll through something. That's how I learned about poisons on the Ranger, is because I was hitting a wall and I just kept dying and dying and dying, and I didn't understand why I couldn't kill these mobs before they killed me. And I did some research, and then I discovered poisons. And I remember exactly where I was when it happened, too. I was on the beach in Thundering Steps. Which, what level is that?
Well, back then it would have been around 20-ish.
Right.
Maybe even a little higher. So
I hit a wall, and I was frustrated and ready to quit the game, and a friend of mine basically talked me off the ledge, and I just did, I mean, it didn't take very much effort, and I discovered poisons. Now, it sounds very straightforward and noobish type of mistake, but I didn't know about poisons until then.
But could you say you didn't have to, because you were able to easily zerg, not zerg, but mobs in certain low areas are so underpowered, you can just power through them.
Right.
You don't have to backstab. As the troubadour, for so long, I didn't have to sneak up behind things and get a back attack in first and stun them and try to get around behind them again and use dancing blades. I was just able to stand there toe-to-toe with them, and right now that's what the coercer is doing. He's standing there toe-to-toe, and when did we get into trouble? When we race through an area and wind up with 10 mobs on us.
We didn't really get into trouble then. I'll tell you when we got into trouble is when we were drowning trying to get back to that cave without any totems.
That was probably the closest we've come. You're right. Probably the closest we've come to death. I mean,
we still haven't died.
We still haven't died, and I think we should hold on to that as long as we possibly can. But even when we got overwhelmed with mobs because we foolishly ran through an area collecting ballast eggs, and I had a dozen mobs on me, then I started to mez a little bit. Or I rooted and backed up a little bit, and
Did you actually mez? Because you didn't get a mez.
Yeah, I was able to mez something. Or stun it or something.
I thought they took away your mez.
No, I have it, I believe.
I have to be gotten a book drop.
I don't know. I have to be honest. I don't know then. Again, because I'm getting them so darn fast.
Mm-hmm.
We are leveling so quickly. I have a hotbar full of things that I don't even think I've ever clicked on yet. I have to almost spend some time and figure out what all these things are. And again, right now, all I need is nukes. Give me all the ones that just do damage to the mob. Who cares about debuffing it or anything like that? Just damage it, because it was funny, you pulled up a zone-wide yesterday for us when we were doing it. I'm like, hey man, we're level 20 and I'm already getting parse reported.
It was a joke.
I know. But it was kind of funny in that these are the things that we're looking at too. I don't need all those additional abilities right now, because all I want to do is nuke. Or all I need to do, not all I want to do. All I need to do is nuke and it dies.
I just hope, Del, I really hope that at some point we reach a wall that won't let us go any farther. It's just everything's down arrow or single arrow or even con or whatever. Whereas when we were really leveling up, it took me a while to get to 20. Now, granted, the level cap at that point was 50, okay, and now we're almost double that. But by then, that's when I started to really learn how to play my character, is when I hit that wall of I can't do this by myself anymore unless I either change what I'm doing or find someone to do this with.
Yeah, but I think it's very unfair to compare Allie the noob or Delmon the noob back from fall of 2004 to where we are today. I mean, we stepped outside of Antonica, outside city proper or something, and they're heroics sitting outside the gate. I mean, there was one area of soloable gnolls, if I remember correctly, outside the North Kinos Gate. Other than that, they were groups of heroics with dynamic camps. You needed a group. We used a group, ironically, I think, with a bard as our main tank back then. This is pre-GU-13, of course, or LU-13 back then, but that's what we did. I mean, you needed a group of at least four or five to go out and do anything. You get on that road and you just started running and hope that nothing else had to cross the road when you were going by it to some degree.
Yeah, I know, it's not fair, but life's not fair, I guess. I'm paying for this game. You're paying for this game. Hell of a lot of people who are veteran players are paying for this game still. I'm starting down a road I don't want to go down, I guess.
Well, let me maybe bail you out here a little bit.
Okay.
What I find so far in our experiment has been very eye-opening, not necessarily for play style yet, for me playing a coercer, because I still don't feel I'm playing a coercer. I think I'm playing a tank that wears cloth with nukes. But yeah. I think I'm seeing the challenges that the design team is presented with. You want to make the game fun and attractive, and you want him to be heroic right when you, pardon the pun, land off the boat. Mm-hmm. You want to be a hero day one. You want to be the champion killing stuff. But if you introduce everybody to all the things that we as level 90 players have to deal with and do on a daily basis and are second nature to us, you could easily be overwhelmed. So where does the making it too easy or to steal the phrase, too dumbed down, balance out with, we need to get people involved in the game and introduce them to concepts over time, as opposed to just going, okay, welcome to the world of Norrath. You're 1/90th of what you would be right now. And by the way, now you have to deal with all those other things that are going on around you. So I see those challenges that are presented to them, and I look at them going, like we talked about the sloppy fish gut bucket there earlier. You know, you want to introduce folks to dropped items that are quest items. But you don't want to make it so that by the time they get to them and figure them all out or understand that little puzzle, that they've completely out-leveled the content, because then it's kind of wasted content. So there's just so much, and I see the challenges that the team now has in front of themselves when they're trying to produce this content that's fun and enjoyable and good for a person who just bought the game off the shelf at the store versus mm-hmm. us who are coming around, you know, on tune 5 or 6. And, you know, if I was doing this without this newbie experience, Allie, I'd just be racing through it. I'd just, you know, click, 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 kill, 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 and I'd be, you know, we'd already be onto Butcher Block or wherever next. You know, we'd be that much far ahead, as opposed to sometimes the slowing down and trying to absorb some of this and trying to do it as the noobs that we've kind of said that we were going to be. It's a challenge for us sometimes because we know some of the answers. We've already been through this content.
I see the challenges too. I guess I wish it weren't so easy.
But not so hard. I want my cake and I want to eat it too, I guess is my...
Well, maybe that's the problem. In some ways, I understand why they're going in this direction, okay? But in other ways, I just wish they weren't. I wish the world were different, that it wouldn't have to be this way. But it's not different. So there's your answer, I guess. It is what it is.
That it is.
But I do think it's funny, I do have to say. I think it's funny when I decided to try to use my hate transfer. I said, I'm going to put my hate transfer on you and see what happens. And Del goes, no.
Yeah, come on, folks, bear with me here. The assassin wants to put her hate transfer on the coercer. Not the coercer's pet, on the coercer himself, and see what happens.
I don't know if you can actually put hate transfer on a charmed pet.
Well, I don't know. I certainly don't want it on me.
Or a possessed essence, possessed pet, or whatever you call it.
We were going to try that out, but I don't think I got around to charming another pet for us to play with.
No. Del was very adamant about not letting me try out my hate transfer.
I'll just remember that next time when I camp out with the charmed pet right next to me while you're standing there AFK.
Yeah, we know what that does.
Yeah. All right, so do we want to move to our next segment?
Sure.
Which, it's time for the Allie Angle again, isn't it?
It is. It seems like just yesterday.
So, Allie, are you ready for Episode 7's Allie Angle?
I am, I guess.
Right. So here, let me get the question out of the vault. Well, Allie, it's late September, and I really should be back at school. So this time around, we have an old school themed Allie Angle for you. What are 3 old school EQ2 gameplay aspects that have been removed or faded from being focused on that you would like to see the design team bring back?
Well, that's kind of a interesting question, and I'm going big picture on you again.
Ooh, so. I like big pictures.
For our number three thing that I would like to see come back is a sense of mystery. As you know, when Sentinel's Fate launched, there was no mention in the official patch notes about all the sweeping class changes.
Yes.
The basics stats for each archetype changed. People got all upset, and SOE immediately responded and gave us a thread explaining all of those changes, but then they explained more. They gave us all this information about potency, aggression, crit bonus, soft and hard caps for things. I'm starting to wonder if maybe this is a little too much information, a little too much seeing behind the curtain. Do we really need to know soft and hard caps for all of these things? I kind of miss the days of way back when we didn't know anything. We were kept in the dark like fungus. You know, there used to be kind of a certain mystery. Only a little bit of information was revealed. And the rest was up to the enterprising player to figure out on their own. Sometimes I wish we could not measure damage per second, heals per second, things like that. Maybe without those things, we could focus on the fun parts of the game, figuring out puzzles, learning encounters, making the most of ourselves, given the limited information that we had. Maybe we only have ourselves to blame for this state of affairs, because we're wishing for too much stuff. Now that we can see behind the curtain, there's no more wizard.
Very interesting. I have to say I disagree a little bit. I do like to see behind some of the curtain. I don't like to maybe live behind the curtain, but I do like to look behind it occasionally and see what's going on. So what was number two?
Number two is class uniqueness. It seems like there are a lot of things gone that used to make classes special. Now those things have become either irrelevant or they're duplicated elsewhere. And an example is, think about healers. Before Sentinel's Fate, you used to have to coordinate all your group cures with the different healers. Now, you probably don't like this, but that uniqueness is gone now. All group cures cure everything, so you don't have to coordinate anything anymore. Maybe you like that change.
I do a little bit. I do, okay. Actually.
Think about druids and wizards. Who needs portals to go anywhere anymore? Who needs a druid? When's the last time you saw somebody yelling for a druid, looking for a druid to get a druid portal?
That probably would have been in EverQuest 1.
So maybe I'm just feeling a little unspecial.
That the classes maybe have become too homogeneous?
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe the special things are now unimportant.
I can see that in some cases, yes, like you talk about druids and wizards. Now the fact that we all have almost instantaneous travel and countless ways of traveling, it kind of has removed some of the defining aspects of what that class was. However, there are other, I think when you talk about, say, like the cure changes, that I could say, yeah, maybe they are positive to some degree because it doesn't create a complete reliance on that particular class.
Yes, and I can see that.
Yeah, so I can see how there's some both very good and not so good sides to that of having uniqueness. You know what? It's nice when you have it available to you, but when you're lacking it, everybody needs to be able to do this.
Right.
Okay, and what was the number one old school thing that you would like to see them bring back?
Learning your class used to be built into the game. Make people learn to play their classes. The new player game has become really streamlined and really simplified. It's great for jumping in. But leveling is so easy and fast that you can get up into your, I don't know, 70s and still have no clue how to play your class. I've seen actually plenty of level 90s who don't know the ins and outs of their class. There are healers who never actually heal don't know what a cure curse is. There are scouts who don't use poisons. There's something wrong with this picture.
Are you speaking from experience? A grouping experience?
I am. Not about you.
Oh, okay.
There are actually healers who don't heal.
In Delmon's defense, I know what a cure curse is. Doing it is something else.
I'm talking about there are plenty of people who really, truly don't know how to play their classes. And I think it's not right.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of cases, you know, throughout the years, and, you know, certainly don't need to share all the stories, of scenarios where a particular class who is present can totally trivialize an encounter, not for the bad that they but it's their what their class is designed to do. You know, let's talk about something we see often in Chardic. Do you remember that area? There's an area in Chardic where there's a named always up, and we got to go through a tunnel, and the first thing he does is stun.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Templar, I can almost trivialize that encounter for us by getting Sanctuary up and knowing that it's coming. Now, maybe the first time through, or you know, when we've been there many months later, I forget that that's what's going to happen and I don't put it up. But I can almost negate that entire fight for our group because we have a Templar with us. There are other cases where, you know, certain spells like that that belong to certain classes that I do think at times players are not forgetful of. We all become forgetful of them, and sometimes, but it is a completely new concept for certain healers who can ward against specific elemental or arcane or poison damage, or bards who can play certain songs that trivialize, or not trivialize, but reduce the amount of damage that comes in. That makes an encounter much easier to deal with. And for not that they forget to do it, but sometimes they're completely oblivious to the fact that that's what their character can do.
Uh-huh.
As you say, maybe it's a little bit of what we were talking about there earlier, because in the beginning you can play like a tank. You just
right.
run up, you nuke, and you whack it with your stick. And you can beat it because it is so down arrow and it is so green to you almost all the time.
Yeah.
That you do lose some of that learning of your class. And I fear that. I said that, I think, to you the other night, Allie. I fear I'm not a very good coercer, and I don't know if I'm learning how to be one yet. Because I'm not using any of my... what I think to be coercer skill sets. I'm nuking and hitting.
But that's Delmon talking, because you wouldn't know if you were a new player what a coercer really is supposed to do.
You are exactly right there. I would think if I was a new player, again, off the shelf, well, that's how you do it. You just run up, you nuke it, and you kill it.
Right.
And I think that comes back to haunt people. And it may be, there may be that point, and maybe we will find that somewhere in the game, and maybe we can talk about it in a future show, is when we got to that point, you know, what was the tipping point where we couldn't use apprentice spell anymore? We couldn't just run up to mobs and hit them. I think it's going to come somewhere in our 20s or early 30s, if I had to guess in terms of levels, that we're going to have to kind of change our play style and play our classes to the strengths of our classes, and not just the tank and spank like encounter for everything. Or we'll be stuck forever doing green down arrow mobs.
You mean when we find the wall?
Right.
That I was talking about earlier?
Yeah. Where are we going to find that wall? What are we going to do when we run kind of face first into it?
I hope we do run face first into it. If that wall disappeared, I'm going to be really, really sad, because that means we've become free realms.
Well, I think we can mitigate the wall. If we're going to, can we trademark that as a term?
Mitigate the wall?
Mitigate the wall by always dealing with green mobs that are 10 levels below us and down arrow. We'll always be able to just tank and spank those types of encounters, but we'll be doing gazillions of them per level. You know, we'll be fighting down arrow kobolds forever. So I think, yes, you can continue that playstyle all the way if you wanted. It will, I think, make for a very boring and long, long leveling experience, but it is doable. So I think we could deal with the wall that way if we wanted to, but I don't think that's fun, in my opinion. It's certainly not very heroic, and you're not going to get the cool items that you referred to earlier. You're not going to kill mobs and take their junk and get good junk doing it that way.
Well, maybe you don't even know if you're a noob that there is good junk to get.
Or perhaps, but that's a good point, perhaps.
I want to see if we run into the wall. I want to see if we actually encounter a wall. My negative and pessimistic... Allie, was pessimistic Allie today, is very skeptical that the wall even exists, and I'm going to be really upset. I mean, I say this, but I keep playing the damn game.
You're still having fun.
I am. I love this game. I still am having fun. And, you know, this is just one small thing that's actually kind of a big thing for me, but this game is complex, and it's enjoyable because it's complex. I don't like I think Free Realms is actually kind of a fun game if you want to just, you know, pop in and pop out a real quick half an hour before you go to bed or whatever. That's fun. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to raid Free Realm style, I guess. I don't want my MMO to be Free Realms. My MMO is EQ2. And we are too much, we're getting in that direction, a little too much in the Free Realms direction, not enough in the EverQuest direction.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from.
That's just my opinion. I want the wall. Give me the wall.
I'm going to say, Allie, I think the wall is out there. I think we're going to hit it, because I think I hit it in the Troubadour, and I hit it multiple times with the Troubadour.
Let's predict. Let's give a number, a level number, because we're going to duo these guys all the way up, right?
Absolutely.
Until
I kill you and take your stuff.
Okay.
I just hope you have good shit on you. Oops, good stuff on you.
So what level do you think we'll be when we hit this wall that you think still exists in the game?
When
we actually have to figure. What I mean by the wall is where you can't go any further. You realize you don't know what you're doing. You have to figure out your class. You're forced to learn how to play. Learn to play.
Well, I think there are many, pardon the pun, but there are many bricks in this wall. I think it's not just we're going to log in one day and say, oops, we can't play anymore. I think what we're going to start to find is things like we can't get by with apprentice spells anymore. If we want to do heroic content, if we want to do a quest that pops up as heroic, which we, as noobs, we haven't seen yet, we're going to need better than apprentice spells. We're going to need better than the gear that we've been getting. We're going to need legendary gear. We're going to need more than treasured gear.
Okay. At what point do you think that will be? At what level will we be? Pick a number. We're going to go closest.
I hate putting a number on this because it all depends on if we get off the quote-unquote golden path at any point, we're going to hit that wall. So as soon as we get off the golden path, we're going to hit that wall. And if we do, say we go into the Neck Forest or the Thundering Steps next and not Butcher Block, which is Butcher Block is more friendlier to us, you know, in new friendliness terms. Is more friendly than, say, some of the older school zones like Enchanted Lands and Zek and that sort of stuff, where there's a lot more heroic content and old school quests still click hanging around. I don't want to paint myself into a corner because I think there are so many variables in this, but I know it's out there. And I think the cop-out answer is as soon as we get off the golden path.
That's a total cop-out answer, because we're not going off the golden path. We're golden pathing it all the way.
I know it's a cop-out answer. But
give me a number.
I'm going to say then 36.
36.
Yes. 36, 24, 27.
No. Oh, 36 is your number?
Oh, that type of number.
Level 36, you think we're going to hit the wall?
Yes, I'm going to say level 36, we're going to hit the wall.
Okay. I'm going way higher because I'm really pessimistic. I actually was going to go 70, but I think I'm going to go 66.
I guess I'm going to continue to make my argument that you're picking levels in old school EverQuest mentality zones. So yes, in the 60s, Kingdom of Sky. Is going to be more heroically.
It's not old school. It's new school because everything up to that is like you could just walk right over it.
Yeah, but if we stick, we're going long, but I do want to make this point though. In Kingdom, you say 60. That's Kingdom of Sky range, right?
56. Yeah.
If we do the new quest that they put into the new Cloud Mount and that sort of stuff, yes, that's all down arrow solo mob content, correct? However, if I say, let's go do the Claymore line where we have to go up and down Sanctum of Scaleborn a million times.
Would we have been introduced to that at that point?
Well, if we click on every feather we see, yes.
Okay. Well, we're just going to do this golden path-ish.
Okay. I guess
To really, truly be noobs, we have to, like, I mean, there's no way for us to be that person who doesn't know anything because we are, it's like this whole ideology thing. I mean, you are what you are. You can't remove yourself from yourself, but we're going to do the best we can to be as noobish as possible.
I guess,
by noobish, we mean somebody who's totally new to EverQuest 2.
Yeah, I'm just going to continue to hide behind my cop-out answer. It all depends.
Well, all I'm asking for is a number, Dell, and you provided a 36, and I've picked 66. So we'll see who's closer when we hit the wall.
All in all, it's just a...
Oh, no, singing.
Okay.
So I don't know what we'll be doing next time, but right now we're at level 24, right?
Yes.
Level 24.
Just outside Alice.
We'll find out what Del and Allie are up to next time. And if we're past 36, we'll find out if Del was wrong.
If not, I'll just find a wall and run Allie right into it while she's AFK. Say, see, there's the wall.
Well, I didn't mean to be all negative this time, but it just sort of ended up that way.
All right.
I got all riled.
Do we have anything else this week?
I don't think so.
Was that the little Peanuts teacher voice? Wah, 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 wah.
I didn't have anything else. Did you have something else?
No, I don't think so.
Did you have a little something you wanted to say to somebody?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I do have a little something I'd like to say to somebody. I feel like there should be like some violinist coming in to give me good background music. No, I wanted to give I originally was going to call this a shout out, but we kind of said we don't like that term. So we're going to call it a whisper in.
Oh, jeez. We got to come up with a better.
All right. I don't know what to call this, but I wanted to. We had a buddy of ours come back, a part of our Monday night throwback night crew come back. And unfortunately, he had been gone for a month due to what? New home, new baby, and new lots of stuff going on in the real world. Came back the other night, was all excited to play with us. And I guess I can share a funny little story. He was having problems getting his carpet to fly. He was wondering why he was running so slow. He keeps clicking on it, and it's not working. To find out that he didn't have a carpet anymore. Then he inspected himself to find out he didn't have any gear. Then he went to his bank to find out there was nothing left there either. So unfortunately, our main tank, our throwback Monday night tank, got hacked, unfortunately. And I hope we do get to see him back soon. I know he's got some petitions going, and he's trying to get all that stuff squared away. And, you know, hopefully customer service is able to help him out and get that stuff back to him. Do want to see him come back soon. And I guess I looked at it as a reminder to myself and maybe to you, Allie, and to everybody else that our passwords are, you know, important, and that there are people out on the big eye internets who are looking to do us harm. It is only EverQuest 2, and, you know, it's fake gold and stuff, but, you know, there are more important things out there too. So, you know, guard those passwords and your security safely, less stuff happen to you. And, you know, hopefully the K-Man will get his stuff squared away and he can get back in game and tanking, because my God, if I have to have a Ranger tank one more night for me, I'm going to lose my mind. Who wants to put hate transfer on me?
I have no hate transfer. Lucky you.
Hold on. Yeah, I can pull that next mob. Let me shoot this arrow into the 40 of them. I'll get the one. That's how it usually goes. So, all right. Anything else this week?
I think that's enough.
All right, should we say thank you to everyone who took the time to listen to this week's podcast? If you have any feedback, suggestions, thoughts on some of the things that we've been talking about, hey, if you've run into the wall, or if you've seen the wall and driven around it, or if you went over the wall, under the wall, around the wall, tell us how you dealt with the wall. Or if you think there isn't a wall, you can drop us an email. So for me, that's Delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N, at EQ2Talk.com.
And I'm Allie. A-L-I, at EQ2Talk.com.
Thank you to this week's corporate sponsor, Crayola Crayons, The Art of Childhood, Crayola, an LLC. Have a great day, everyone, and say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie.